Testimony Treasures, Volume 3, Chapter 56, The Need of Earnest Effort. In the power of the Spirit, the delegated servants of Christ are to bear witness for their leader. The yearning desire of the Savior for the salvation of sinners is to mark all their efforts. The gracious invitation, first given by Christ, is to be taken up by human voices and sounded throughout the world. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The church is to say, "Come." Every power in the church is to be actively engaged on the side of Christ. The followers of Christ are to combine in a strong effort to call the attention of the world to the fast fulfilling prophecies of the Word of God. Infidelity and spiritualism are gaining a strong hold in the world. Shall those to whom great light has been given be cold and faithless now? We are on the very verge of the time of trouble, and perplexities that are scarcely dreamed of are before us. A power from beneath is leading men to war against heaven. Human beings have confederated with satanic agencies to make void the law of God. The inhabitants of the world are fast becoming as the inhabitants of the world in Noah's day, who were swept away by the flood, and as the inhabitants of Sodom, who were consumed by fire from heaven. The powers of Satan are at work to keep minds diverted from eternal realities. The enemy has arranged matters to suit his own purposes. Worldly business, sports, the fashions of the day, these things occupy the minds of men and women. Amusements and unprofitable reading spoil the judgment. In the broad road that leads to eternal ruin, there walks a long procession. The world, filled with violence, reveling, and drunkenness, is converting the church. The law of God, the divine standard of righteousness, is declared to be of no effect. At this time, a time of overwhelming iniquity, a new life coming from the source of all life is to take possession of those who have the love of God in their hearts, and they are to go forth to proclaim with power the message of a crucified and risen Savior. They are to put forth earnest, untiring efforts to save souls. Their example is to be such that it will have a telling influence for good on those around them. They are to count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord. Intense earnestness should now take possession of us. Our slumbering energies should be aroused to untiring effort. Consecrated workers should go forth into the field, clearing the king's highway and gaining victories in new places. My brother, my sister, is it nothing to you to know that every day souls are going down into the grave unwarned and unsaved, ignorant of their need of eternal life and of the atonement made for them by the Savior? Is it nothing to you that soon the world is to meet Jehovah over his broken law? Heavenly angels marvel that those who for so many years have had the light have not carried the torch of truth into the dark places of the earth. The infinite value of the sacrifice required for our redemption reveals the fact that sin is a tremendous evil. God might have wiped out this foul blot upon creation by sweeping the sinner from the face of the earth, but he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Then why are we not more in earnest? Why are so large a number idle? Why are not all who profess to love God seeking to enlighten their neighbors and their associates, that they may no longer neglect so great salvation? A lack of sympathy. Among professing Christians of today, there is a fearful lack of sympathy that should be felt for souls unsaved. Unless our hearts beat in unison with the heart of Christ, how can we understand the sacredness and importance of the work to which we are called by the words, "Watch for souls as they that must give account"? We talk of Christian missions. The sound of our voices is heard, but do we feel Christ's tender heart longing for souls? From all countries, the Macedonian cry is sounding, "Come over and help us." God has opened fields before us, and if human agencies would but cooperate with divine agencies, many, many souls would be won to the truth. But the Lord's professing people have been sleeping over their allotted work, and in many places it remains comparatively untouched. God has sent message after message to arouse our people to do something and to do it now. But to the call, "Whom shall I send?" there have been few to respond, "Here am I, send me." When the reproach of indolence and slothfulness shall have been wiped away from the church, the Spirit of the Lord will be graciously manifested. Divine power will be revealed. The church will see the providential working of the Lord of hosts. The light of truth will shine forth in clear, strong rays, and, as in the time of the apostles, many souls will turn from error to truth. The earth will be lighted with the glory of the Lord. Heavenly angels have long been waiting for human agents, the members of the church, to cooperate with them in the great work to be done. They are waiting for you. So vast is the field, so comprehensive the design, that every sanctified heart will be pressed into service as an instrument of divine power. At the same time, there will be a power working from beneath. While God's agents of mercy work through consecrated human beings, Satan sets his agencies in operation, laying under tribute all who will submit to his control. There will be lords many and gods many. The cry will be heard, "Lo, here is Christ," and, "Lo, there is Christ." The deep plotting of Satan will reveal itself everywhere for the purpose of diverting the attention of men and women from present duty. There will be signs and wonders. But the eye of faith will discern in all these manifestations harbingers of the grand and awful future and the triumphs that await the people of God. Work, oh, work, keeping eternity in view. Bear in mind that every power must be sanctified. A great work is to be done. Let the prayer go forth from unfeigned lips. God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Those who realize, even in a limited degree, what redemption means to them and to their fellow men, will walk by faith and will comprehend in some measure the vast needs of humanity. Their hearts will be moved to compassion as they see the widespread destitution in our world, the destitution of the multitudes who are suffering for food and clothing, and the moral destitution of thousands who are under the shadow of a terrible doom, in comparison with which physical suffering fades into nothingness. Let church members bear in mind that the fact that their names are registered on the church books will not save them. They must show themselves approved of God, workmen that need not be ashamed. Day by day, they are to build their characters in accordance with Christ's directions. They are to abide in Him, constantly exercising faith in Him. Thus, they will grow up to the full stature of men and women in Christ, wholesome, cheerful, grateful Christians, led by God into clearer and still clearer light. If this is not their experience, they will be among those whose voices will one day be raised in the bitter lamentation, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and my soul is not saved. Why did I not flee to the stronghold for refuge? Why have I trifled with my soul's salvation and done despite to the Spirit of grace?" The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Let us be shod with the gospel shoes, ready to march at a moment's notice. Every hour, every minute is precious. We have no time to spend in self-gratification. All around us there are souls perishing in sin. Every day there is something to do for our Lord and Master. Every day we are to point souls to the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Go to your rest at night, with every sin confessed. Thus we did when in 1844 we expected to meet our Lord. And now this great event is nearer than when we first believed. Be ye always ready, in the evening, in the morning, and at noon, that when the cry is heard, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. You may, even though awakened out of sleep, go forth to meet him with your lamps trimmed and burning.